Sportscast, April 21st, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can listen to us every day and visit our website, thesportscast.net. And also, you can look for us on Instagram at thesportscast1. Check out our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. A lot of drama in the NBA playoffs, injuries. If there were healthy questions, Warriors cut it in half. Sixers on the verge, and maybe the same for Boston Celtics. Join us all the way across around the world in Australia, Hal Phillips. I am grateful for you joining on to the Sportscast all across around the world.
Always my pleasure, Santi, no matter where I might be in the world. But I do happen to be in Beechworth, Victoria, which is about 3 hours north of Melbourne.
Not bad. So it's probably getting cold over there, isn't it?
It is fall. Yeah, it's got it's sort of entering fall, but it's a beautiful day. And I was just in New Zealand. Same thing. It's really comfortable. About the same sort of weather you might expect in the Northeast United States, but spring version of that weather. Sort of moving into summer. This is moving into their winter.
That's amazing. Love the time changes. Have not been to that part of the world. Hopefully soon. All right, let's get into the news. Raptors got rid of head coach Nick Nurse. He was with the Raptors for a few years, won a championship with them, and they lost in the play-in against Chicago. So your thoughts over this? This is kind of surprising, but hey, it had to be done, I guess.
Well, no one is surprised by his firing. It is surprising to see a coach that won a championship in 2019 be fired in 2023, and they have amassed really what a lot of people feel is a critical mass of talent there as well. And a lot of coaches would be on their best behavior to get a chance to coach that talent. But Nurse is done with that group, and I think they're done with him. That I think that's the problem too. They've got some big decisions to make. They can't sign everyone. They're going to have to package some of that young talent, because otherwise they'll be paying massive luxury tax. And you know, I'm not in the locker room, but the consensus was that that group had tuned out Nick Nurse, and I don't think he'll have any problem getting a job elsewhere in the NBA.
Yeah, he has actually been with the Raptors since 2013.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
And he was an assistant at first, and then 2018, he became the head coach, and I guess the following year, he won it with Kawhi Leonard, mm-hmm. which was a great team, I thought, you know, that a bunch of all-stars. But once Kawhi left, Hal, it was pretty much in a decline. They got Van Fleet afterwards, but it wasn't enough.
Well, in the NBA, you can't be mediocre. That's the kiss of death. And I think a lot of people would agree that the Raptors have an interesting, young, dynamic roster. And they had the same sort of roster back in 2019, and they pulled a flyer and brought in Kawhi Leonard as a free agent, and boom, they were a championship level team. A lot of people, if the situation with the coach was better, I think would not have been surprised if they had done the same thing this year and brought in someone like Kevin Durant. Boom, that would have transformed that team immediately. But it is a weird team. They don't really have enough guards. Fred VanVleet is a great guard, can play the combo, but they need another one. They're playing Ananobi at the two, great for defense, can't shoot. So it's not a perfect lineup, but they've got six or seven really good players. And if they trade two away and bring in a star that fits their backcourt needs, I think they're going to be very good, a top four team in the East, as good as Cleveland. Very young, too.
Very young team. Expectations is former Boston Celtics coach Ime Udoka is expected to become a serious candidate for the Raptors job. You're very familiar with him. You think that would be a good spot for him?
I guess. I mean, Udoka is definitely a good coach. He brings a boatload of baggage with him now. I hadn't heard that rumor. I'm halfway around the world. So I'll take your word for it. He would be the leading candidate. I think he and Nurse are together the two most intriguing coaching opportunities for teams across the NBA. But unfortunately, you know, Nurse is not going to get rehired by the Raptors. So, put Udoka at the top of that list.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with this Toronto franchise, the only Canadian team that's won the NBA championship. Let's go to the playoffs. Let's start with the Sixers. They're 3-0 against the Nets. This is not much of a series. Last night, Tyrese Maxey led the way for Philadelphia with 25 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists, while James Harden added 21 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists before he was tossed late in the third quarter, which was quite interesting for elbowing Royce O'Neal in the groin. Mikal Bridges paced Brooklyn with 26 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. And Spencer Dinwiddie added 20 points and 7 assists. So this series looks like a wrap to me.
Yeah, but it has plenty of intrigue. It's impossible to talk about this game without talking about the incident with Claxton and Embiid, which mirrored the incident with Sabonis and Draymond in the Kings-Warriors series. They gave, basically Claxton stepped over Embiid in the same way that Draymond sort of stepped over Sabonis. In soccer and basketball, in any sport, if anyone steps over a fallen guy and looks down, I mean, that's the important part. If the guy steps over and looks at you, there's going to be a reaction. And you can tell that as soon as Claxton stepped over him and looked down, Embiid whacked him in the balls. And then, if you look closely at that video, was ready to get up and go with Claxton. I mean, it was a provocation. It was clear. And I'm surprised that the NBA wasn't smarter by giving exactly the same punishment, except for the fact that they have been clear with the Draymond case. They didn't suspend Draymond for that one episode. They were very clear. They suspended him for an accumulation of incidents. So obviously Embiid is not having an accumulation of incidents and he's going to play in game 4, and Draymond got suspended for game 3, which didn't bother the Warriors one bit.
Yeah, which we'll get to that soon. So Sixers will play game 4 in, I believe, tomorrow or Sunday. So the Nets have one more chance to extend the series. But I think this Philadelphia team, I was actually hearing a radio show and they were saying, this was like Philadelphia's last good shot to go deep in the playoffs. But do you think this team is capable?
Yes. I think that the Celtics and the Sixers are on a collision course. That will be a very good series. And I think the winner will have a shot at beating the Bucks, as good a shot as anybody in the league. I actually think the Celtics are better than the Bucks, especially if Giannis is not at his best. I think the roster is better, deeper, more versatile. But the Sixers, it sounds to me like Harden is signed, sealed, and delivered to go back to Houston. So when you remove him from the mix, they're not as good a team. But what happens if they brought in someone like Mikal Bridges instead of Harden, a younger, more athletic star to play along Embiid? I think they're going to be a good team. They're not an old team. Harden is old. And if they lose Harden, they need to replace him with someone else that's dynamic and young. And I don't think this is a last stand for the Sixers. I think the Nets have played very well. They are game. They are difficult to play against. They defend the ball, which is what they do best all season long, but it matters more in the playoffs. And they gave them a good run last night and aren't taking any shit from them either, pardon my French. But okay. The Embiid thing is fascinating to watch, just in the way that it's adjudicated by the NBA. It's hard to get away from. It's the most interesting thing about that series was what happened with Claxton and Embiid.
Yeah, it's quite a interesting series, but Sixers are leading 3-0. They got a chance to close it out this weekend. Hal brought up the Warriors. They did not have Draymond Green from game 3 suspended. And just like Hal said, it's accumulation of different stuff. But they cut the series in half 2-1. The Warriors beat the Kings 114-97 to avoid an 0-3. It was a fantastic game. Steph Curry had a huge game. This series is 2-1. Your thoughts?
Well, I think everyone thought the Warriors would come back and hold serve at home, even without Draymond. They've done that all through the regular season. That they had a great home record all year. So no surprise that they were able to, you know, piece things together and outscore the Kings. But they're obviously in trouble. I think, you know, the more good things they do without Draymond, Steve Kerr is very quietly saying, this guy is more trouble than he's worth. We're going to see. I can't believe that they would re-sign him. I think it's time to cut bait on him. But he's on the team now. And, geez, when they play well, you say, well, maybe they could sneak into the finals. But I just can't see it. I like the Kings. Interesting thing about the Kings that I don't know that people realize. Number one, they've been this good all year. It's not like we're just watching them now. Or, you know, people who are casual fans are just watching them. But I think they are 21st in the league in defense at home. You know, obviously not great, but they outscore you at home. On the road, they're the eighth or ninth best defense in the NBA.
Wow.
What does that say to me? It says that this team digs in and actually can defend when they have to, and didn't necessarily show very well in game three, but big national television audience on Sunday back there in the United States. That would be some must-watch NBA TV if I was home. I don't know what time of day. I'll be asleep.
You'll be asleep. It could be in the morning time when they play, because they play late at night. Here at the East Coast, 10:30 p.m., but I don't know what's the logistics over there. Steph Curry last night had 36 points. Wiggs, 20 points. Jordan Poole, who started for Green, 16 points. Klay Thompson, 13, not bad. And Moody came off the bench with 13 points. Sacramento, Fox had 26 points. And Barnes with 17 points. So we'll see what happens for game four. Sacramento definitely needs to kick up their defense, because or else Warriors could come back climbing. But I do think the Warriors will advance. Will it be against the Lakers? We'll ask how a little bit later.
Yeah, so, you know, one more thing about the Kings series. It because of the regionalism that's going on there, the Kings fans have felt sort of like the beaten down little brother, you know, for decades there. But the Warriors actually match up with the Kings as well as they match up with any of the good teams in the West. The Kings are really fun to watch. They're not that big, though. Sabonis is a great rebounder, but he's the only one. They're playing Harrison Barnes at the power forward slot, the four. So, you know, they can compete with the Kings physically in a way they can't with Denver, with the Lakers, with the Clippers, even when they're healthy. They're just too small in a lot of ways, but not the case with the Kings. So, I mean, if they can steal this game and get it back to level, I think that the Kings will be a little bit nervous about their standing. If they win the game, I think the series is over, and I think they will go all out to do that. And Draymond will be back, and we'll be able to see whether he really helps them or hurts them. He's really become sort of a World Wrestling Federation heel type figure now, and I don't know whether you really want that kind of guy on your team. The NBA playoffs are real. WWF is not.
It reminds me of Rodzilla with Dennis Rodman back in the 90s. I'm not sure if you watched that documentary with the Chicago Bulls, but it kind of reminds me of Dennis Rodman. So we'll see what happens with that series. You know, the percentage for a team to advance to the next round, if you're up 2-0, is like, I heard it's up there with like 96% or something. Have you heard that stat?
Yeah, I mean, most of those two nil starting stats are dependent on the fact that the team is up 2-0 is the home team. So that means that once they get up 2-0, they have all those opportunities to win home games of the final five and close the series out. And that is where the Kings are. So, you know, the NBA home court advantage is one of the most potent home field advantages in all of professional sports, American professional sports. So, but I do think that since the pandemic, and we've talked about this, that advantage has been lessened. So it'll be interesting to see how the home court plays out in this series and in all these series going forward. But I think we can agree that there's a wide open feel to the NBA playoffs this year that is unusual, but more and more usual in light of the pandemic. I think the pandemic changed the way NBA players think about the home court advantage. It's like, why can't we go in there and win on an opponent's floor? Whereas, prior to 2019, it was just sort of, we had no chance. Now they have belief.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always a chance. Go in there and get those road wins. Let's go look at the other game. Suns take a 2-1 lead against the Clippers. Clippers was without Kawhi Leonard. He had a right knee sprain. It was kind of like news right before the match on the game. Sorry. Kevin Durant added 28 points, had a fantastic game. Devin Booker with 45 points. At the other side, Russell Westbrook had 30 points, and Norman Powell had a playoff high career with 42 points. The Suns are up 2-1. They need Kawhi back for game four.
They do, but really fascinating sort of matchup of rosters here. The Suns won the game. They are up 2-1 now, but I think Booker played all but 7 or 8 minutes of that game, scored 45 points. Durant had a great game. They're just not deep. They're going to go as far as their top six guys can take them. I think they played Landry Shamet, for the big minutes in the last two games. I mean, how long can that go on? I mean, Durant, as we've seen, is very fragile. Chris Paul is famously fragile. I think they're really on the edge here. They're playing with fire to just pile up the metaphors. Whereas the Clippers, they have a really deep roster. After a while, everyone likes them, along with the Celtics, to go deep into these playoffs. They nearly won this game. They played well, with Westbrook and Norman Powell, two fine players. Don't even start for them. They, they combined for how many points in this game? 72?
Yeah.
Two former UCLA Bruins, I will add. So they have a deep roster, but I agree with you. They can win games without one of their stars. Paul George has been out. It's hard to see them winning the series without both of them, but no team is better equipped to give it a go than the Clippers.
Yeah, Paul George is rumored to come back sometimes later in the playoffs, not in the series. So Clippers are in trouble. Phoenix are up 2-1. And like we were talking about from the previous series, if whoever wins game four, I mean, it's a pivotal game four. If Phoenix go up 3-1, it's pretty much over. But if Clippers tie it up, then we got a series. So this is a very pivotal part of the series. The stretch begins. So, there you have it. The playoffs tonight, we'll go into predictions tonight. What's going to happen tonight? Your Boston Celtics at the Atlanta Hawks. Hawks have not shown up. They have not done anything since that win against Miami. Do you think how is Boston, do you think Boston will win on the road in Atlanta?
Well, the Hawks are no good. We know that. So I'm not surprised and no one is surprised that the Celtics are up 2-0 in the series. I think, though, that if you're a betting man, and I'm not, putting some money on the Hawks tonight, take the under, or rather take the points, because, the Celtics are an interesting team. If they're not hitting their threes, they have a hard time beating people. And they lost a lot of games this year because they just couldn't make them. They're so committed to the three-pointer. I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta came out and made more of an effort and got pumped up by the home crowd and the Celtics, shoot less than 30% from three and lose. So I'm going to take the Hawks tonight. And I'm going to also take the Knicks at home for the same reason. They're better than the Hawks. And they also, they're playing a team, Cleveland, that is not proven. I think the Hawks will win, and I think the Knicks will win.
Oh, there you have it. I was going to ask you about the Knicks. They're playing tomorrow. Series is tied 1-1. I want to say something about the Knicks. Brunson, fantastic player, surprised me. Of course, not just him. RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, Josh Hart, Isaiah Hartenstein, fantastic team. The Cavs as well, very paired up. This series is it is kind of unfolding how we kind of predicted. It's going to be a close one. It might go down to the wire.
It's a 4-5 matchup, so they should be well matched, and they are. So I don't think anyone has any strong feelings about who will prevail here. Cleveland is a young team that is on the rise. The Knicks are also sort of on the rise, but it's not because they're young and up and coming. They've just finally figured out how to play for Tom Thibodeau. But I don't know. I'm of the mind that Tom Thibodeau is your coach. There's only so far you will go as a team. He doesn't coach offensively well enough.
I've seen that before. And finally, Nuggets at the Timberwolves. The series shifts back to Minnesota. Chips to Minnesota. Denver's up 2-0. Minnesota is like Atlanta. Nothing going on there. Denver's dominating. Do you see a 3-0 or maybe cut it in half 2-1?
Are they even playing the series? I don't care. Denver should win. But, you know, Minnesota, I thought they were dead and buried when they screwed up the play-in, the first leg of the play-in, and then they go ahead and advance. After they lost to OKC, I was like, wow, this team's imploding. Rudy Gobert got, you know, suspended for that game, I guess the play-in game that they won. What kind of message does that send to your team when you sit down the guy you brought in for $90 million and you win without him? Anything could happen there. We'll see what happens. But I'd be surprised if Denver doesn't win. But I suppose I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota took one game in this series and this would be it.
Yeah, game three would be it. So I can see two possible sweeps, Hal. I could see your Boston team sweeping and the Sixers sweeping. Then they meet up. In the West, Denver. So I'm seeing three sweeps. Do you see the same possibly?
I guess I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. I think it's hard to beat a team that's not truly terrible four times in a row. And with the Celtics especially, so much of their capability is built on their shooting. It's a miss or make league. The Celtics are the prime example of that truism. So, you know, they have a bad shooting night, they lose. And, you know, they still dominate the series and win 4-1. Who cares? The difference is, of course, that if the Sixers and the Celtics sweep, they meet each other in well-rested in a semifinal. If Denver sweeps, they are probably going to meet a pretty tuckered out Lakers or Grizzlies squad. The Grizzlies are, you know, really just, we haven't talked to them, you know, about them at all. Lakers, we've talked about tons, but you know, the Grizzlies are playing without Steven Adams.
Well, Steven from New Zealand.
Right. Yeah. Steven Adams and I'm just blanking. John Morant, of course, but they have another back big guy, Brandon Clark, who is, you know, a really key reserve for them. So, I mean, they're tiny now. They're tiny and untested under the basket. So, you know, right now the Lakers are hitting on all cylinders, and that's a big, big imposing team when they've got AD and Vanderbilt and LeBron, you know, cleaning the glass. Without Adams, without Brandon Clark, I think it's going to be hard for the Grizzlies. But the larger point I'm going to make is that Denver's going to be in that second round, fresh as a daisy, and whoever wins the Lakers-Grizzlies series is going to be pretty whacked.
Which, by the way, the Lakers and Grizz series, the winner faces the Warriors or the Kings.
Wait a minute, I thought that was the 7-2. There isn't that going to be?
Let me double check here. Right. Someone was talking about that the other day. But the Lakers, like you were saying, they do have a good shot of advancing.
Sure, they have a shot. Geez, so I have that wrong. So they play the Kings. So who's the winner of? No, the Clippers and Suns is the 4-5. Is that the 4-5? So they would play Denver. Okay, my bad.
No, it's okay. Yeah, Lakers. Yep, I see it in my bracket here on the web. Let me pull that up for you. This is like a play-in bracket. So Lakers will go right here. Yeah, so they'll play the winner of the Kings in Golden State. So they'll stay in California if LA wins.
Okay, fair enough. I withdraw all my previous points. I just don't think Denver's that good. But they will get to the next round fresher than their opponents. I think that's fair to say.
LeBron versus Steph Curry, Hal. That'd be exciting. That's high ratings.
I don't think that the Warriors match up at all well with the Lakers. They're going to be much too small to deal with them. And but it'll be, God, the NBA is rooting for that. That would be a TV rating bonanza.
I'm glad you are a Premier League fan, because I'm not sure if you heard the news. Arsenal tied Southampton 3-3, bringing Premier League implications, and Man City has a path to win the Premier League.
Yes, they do. And I did. I saw the result. I didn't see any of the game. I just got up and here on Saturday morning. But you know what? All I have to say is it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of Arsenal guys. I'd love to see what they have. They have a phrase in English football, Santi, you probably know it. It's called, when things get tight and nerve-wracking, they say it is squeaky bum time. And boy, is it squeaky bum time at the Emirates.
It is. It is. It was an exciting match. I watched all of it, actually. The goalkeeper for Arsenal, he made a big mistake. He kicked the ball to a midfielder striker. He scored it. In the goal, and then Southampton was up 3-1, Hal, and then Arsenal tied it up, I think, really? All the way to the end of the match, and they had like a couple minutes to take the lead. Trussard hit the ball on the crossbar, wasn't enough, and Arsenal fans were sad. They were leaving the stadium. It was like the most drastic draw you've ever saw in your life. So they do play Man City next Wednesday. So if they beat Man City, things get calmer in London.
Is it at home? Is it in London or is it in Manchester?
It's in the Emirates. So it's in Arsenal.
Well, that's a fascinating match. I'm going to have to make some time to watch that and figure out what the hell time it will be here when an English Premier League game is on. It's probably
a
night game.
It's at the Etihad. My bad, Man City.
Oh, Arsenal's in trouble then. Because they're gonna get whacked, but you know, look, Arsenal's played really well this year. That's a good team. Obviously, what they need, Santi, is they need that American goalkeeper in place of Ramsdale.
I agree. Ramsdale's made a couple of mistakes, one in the Europa League and now today. Yeah. So yeah. I was thinking of Matt Turner. I was like, they should play him now.
Matt Turner, bring it on! What a debut that would be. Maybe Ramsdale's been playing with an injury, and they'll tell us on Monday that it's Turner time, and boy, the ratings will go through the roof here in the United States. Here,
Australia, perhaps. But yeah, definitely try to catch that match. It's a pivotal. Maybe this is probably this match will tilt for the Premier League title. So looking forward to it. Well, anyways, how? What is the best way to reach you online?
I'm at Mandarin Hal on Twitter. My new book, Generation Zero, Founding Fathers, Hidden Histories, and the Making of Soccer in America is available at Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, all your finer independent bookstores. So give that a look, and because I love the footy as well as the hoops.
Have you heard about the tie USA had against Mexico for the Continental Friendly they had on Wednesday?
Okay, Arizona? Can I defend whoever organized this match a little bit? It's been raked over the coals as being meaningless. I watched the first half of the match, and then I had to go to dinner, and I guess I missed both goals. But look, every time Mexico and the United States face each other, it's fun. I don't care if it's an under 20 match or an under 23 match or a B team senior match, which this was. But you know what? That was an MLS versus Liga MX match. Why isn't that fun? And I thought that Mexico dominated to the extent that anyone did, but their goal was a complete giveaway. And the United States did well to tie that thing up. And, people are just too eager to find fault. Ferreira finally scores a goal, which is what the young man needs for his confidence. And people are saying it was lucky. It bounced in off of him. He didn't even score it himself. Look, he needs something good to happen, and it did. So, I don't know. I was entertained by the spectacle of it. I mean, why is it bad that there's 70,000 people watching that game in Phoenix? That's a good spectacle. The U.S. got a result, with a not the greatest team that they put out there. And I don't want to get too wonky, but man, they've got to find someone other than Kellen Acosta to play in the middle of the field. He gave away the goal.
Just
does not want the ball at his feet. You can't have a central midfielder in any playmaking or withdrawn role who will not look forward and does not play fast enough to make anything happen. He's just not good enough.
And without a head coach installed, it's kind of like you're evaluating, but we don't know if that future coach is looking at this match. We don't know.
Well, I mean, look, that's why MLS is a success, even though people don't really want to get behind that idea. They put together an entire squad of MLS players. They held their own against a comparable Liga MX side. I mean, where's the harm? You know, who I felt bad for was Sergiño Dest. He was the only European-based player. He's not in the Inter Milan team that, you know, is basically qualified for the Champions League semifinal. He had to watch that, you know, from America and play with the backups. I felt bad for him, but, you know, I'm glad Sergiño Dest is on the team. I hope he gets a place in a proper European team going forward. But I felt that was a little weird to watch that dynamic play out.
Well, there you have it. We got NBA, US men's national team. You can follow us on thesportscast.net, our website, or thesportscast1 on Twitter and Instagram. A lot going on this weekend, NBA playoffs. Hal, you're going to watch a cricket game in Australia this weekend?
No, I think we're going to take an e-bike to a winery. That's what you do in Northern Victoria, apparently.
Give sports a break for a bit. I guess that's probably the good thing.
Exactly.
Anyways, Hal, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Oh, thanks for having me, Santi, and thanks for your patience on the time zone. It's a little tricky.
No, thanks for coming on. And this was your update.